Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number two. I'm Jim Galante along with Thomas Frank Carr. T. Frank, in quarter number one, we took a look at the running back position. This segment, we're going to take a look at a related position. That's the offensive line. I'm not sure there was any two position groups that were more disappointing than the running backs and the offensive line. And so when we take a look here, somewhere along the segment, I want you to give me a little bit of hope for next season, okay? So just put that in the back of your mind.
Yeah, no, I can absolutely do that. That's actually where I've landed about this group for next season. So I don't think it's as bleak as people feel it after last year.
Okay, because I felt pretty bleak about it after last year. Let's talk about last season a little bit and the players who won't be returning.
Yeah.
Since the offseason began, we learned that Rashid Walker has left the program, declared for the NFL draft. A year ago, we thought he was going to be a cornerstone of this offensive line, an NFL-capable tackle. He's gone. Eric Wilson was the transfer from Harvard. Did not impress, at least not me. Mike Miranda, a starter, has also decided to move on. We just found that out this week. And Des Holmes, who I had great expectations. Let me take away the word great. I had expectations that he would be a competent fill-in at both tackle and guard coming into this season. So, and Caden Wallace was supposed to be the other bookend tackle, yeah, although he is returning. Tell me about the performance from last season. Was it as bad as I thought it was?
Yeah, it was. So I wrote this last week talking about the offensive line, where you don't need to have an elite unit from left to right. You don't need to have five all Big Ten performers. Now, if you do, write it down, because remember that that's a special group where you have five excellent players along the offensive line, especially if they play well together, and that's there's that intangible cohesiveness that we love to write about. But the way I phrased it is, to have a wall, you need to have some studs. And Penn State did not have a single stud last year. Their stud was supposed to be Rashid Walker, where you're hanging everything off of what he did. And James Franklin said last year, or in the spring, the lights really come on for Rashid. He's really going to, he's taken it to the next level. And he talked about how appreciative he was of everything around him and how he had matured and grown up. And for reference point, for grading purposes of how he performed, PFF's overall grades, you know, 60 is average. It means you walked on the football field and you had no influence, positive or negative. You just played football, did only what was expected of you, didn't hurt your team, didn't help. Rashid Walker had a 60.1 overall grade. So he literally was on the football field, is how you could describe Rashid Walker for the light coming on. So not only is that a disappointment from a fourth-year player, but from a guy who supposedly the light came on. And you could see it. Again, you know, not to rely too much on one particular place or grading or analytics or any one thing. You look at the film, and it's there. He had high-end reps. He had garbage reps, and he was average in between. So, I mean, the journey to get to having no impact, you know, from that particular number was all over the place. So that does not set you up for success. The offensive line, go then to Mike Miranda. Mike Miranda moved from guard to center. And at least from what I understand and from how I would view this particular situation is, your veteran player that's played 1,300 snaps in his career coming into 2021, you put him at center so he can make the line calls, he can be the stable force on the interior. And another guy that just struggled. He played below expectations for a guy in his last season. And that might be, he didn't take to center well. You know, he was worse at center than he was at guard in his previous career at Penn State. So maybe that didn't work, I understand why you move him to center. And I think that is a fair thing to do. It just didn't work. And then you have Eric Wilson, who reports out of camp were that Salim Wormley was the starter at left guard. He goes down for the season. He had won the starting competition there between Wilson and Wormley. I still believe we would have seen Eric Wilson this year, but if you're fitting him in right guard, left guard, giving him the opportunity to, you know, have those fill-in reps, that's a very different situation than you have Eric Wilson, Mike Miranda, Juice Scruggs as your interior. And to me, that was really the story, is you've got three guys that are a little undersized, a little underpowered, and did not work together well. There was nobody on the interior that really accentuated or helped out or filled in the gaps for the other guys. So that's kind of how you got to where you did. And then Caden Wallace, I think, just struggled at right tackle. The consensus is, and I said this about midway through the season, he is not a right tackle. He is a guard. He was recruited, and all the recruiting services had him as a guard. He has the length. He has the size to play tackle, but the other positional skills did not manifest this past season. So that was the other part about that whole situation.
Undersized, undermanned, underpowered, and didn't play well together. Other than that, though, they did a good job.
I said we're going to end on a positive note. I promised.
So let's look forward. So you can't look at this group and say, oh, no, we lost these guys. We lost 3/5 or 4/5 of the offensive line when they underperform so much. But now it becomes, all right, if you're going to replace them, what are you replacing them with? Here's what I think I know about this offensive line is Juice Scruggs will probably be the center.
Yeah.
That's really about all I think I know is
everything else. So I would say the other thing that we can know almost for sure is that Olafashunu is going to be the left tackle, because when Penn State had the opportunity to set up their offensive line after a month, knowing Rashid Walker was going to be there, they put Fashanu at left tackle and put Landon Tangwall almost everywhere else other than left tackle. And Juice Scruggs, in a game that Mike Miranda played, they moved him to center and had Miranda at right guard. Just like they moved Curtis Jacobs to the will, I think that is a indicator of what they want to do next season. So I think you're right. You know, left tackle, you know, center. The rest is up for determination.
Well, first of all, let me ask you this. You saw Fashanu in the bowl game. How did he perform?
Good. I thought really good. But this is the same thing I said with Caden Wallace last year, is I'm looking at, it's 85 snaps he played this season. 85. And most of them came in that one game where Arkansas did not have a pass rusher that had Big Ten, what he'll see in 2022, especially against some high-end guys. So I still need to learn more about him. But what I saw, pretty good. Pretty darn good. Like, as a pass protector, he was good. As a run blocker, he showed up and he got the job done. So I think that is a positive sign. I will not rubber stamp he's going to be great next season, but I definitely think that there is more than enough opportunity for him to be a good left tackle for Penn State. I was concerned looking at the roster and the depth chart about how Penn State was going to fill that role after Rashid Walker. They haven't recruited tackles for 4 years now. You know, as far as like guys in the top 100 or 200 in the recruiting rankings, just guys who have names that you know or that are a consensus as good at that position. Fashanu looks like he solved that problem. So we'll see. And the other guy, and I, you know, the other stud that I saw and I've seen the whole time is Landon Tangwall. I am very much more on board with him all the way back to his high school tape, that this guy's going to be a difference maker wherever they put him, and wherever they put him is going to determine his ceiling to me. I think if you put him on the left side and you help Fashanu with a guy at that level of intelligence and he's not going to make mistakes, neither of them made mistakes in the bowl game. So you put those two guys next to each other, I think you got a great left side. You put Tangwall on the right side at right guard, I think then you have a balanced unit. So it just depends on where you want to put him as to the future of the offensive line. And those two guys themselves will help stabilize a lot. And I think Scruggs coming back as actually Penn State's best offensive lineman from last year, moving to center, being protected by bigger, more physical players, he has a chance to play better because he's not a bad football player. He was just in a bad situation last year.
Let's look at the next level of guys then. We were told that Sal Warmley had won the starting guard position last season before an injury. So you're looking at him as a potential guard. Caden Wallace, who was the starting right tackle, you mentioned he's probably a better guard than tackle. So who's the right tackle?
I don't know. Right now, it's Caden Wallace. Right now, it is the guy that played there last year. And like I said, he's got the Penn State is not wrong for trying him at tackle. That is not the incorrect thing to do. The problem is when it didn't work, they didn't have another solution because everyone else behind him was Bryce Effner, who struggled at that position. He gave up 3 sacks last season on only 174 pass blocks. And most of them came at the tackle position when he had to fill in for injury. So they didn't have another guy that could step up. Both Ibrahim Traore and Jimmy Crist are young. They needed time to develop. They weren't ready to play, so Penn State played their best option at that right tackle. If they get a tackle in the portal, and if that guy's better than Wallace, that solidifies a lot for Penn State. But there's the open-ended question. Do they, can they, will they? We'll see. I think even if Caden Wallace is the right tackle next year, there's room for him to improve because even a guy who is maybe out of position can still play well. And even if he doesn't, yes, it's a tackle position. That is the worst position you could have that happen at. But if you have 3/5 of your offensive line as good, and maybe if you're lucky you get 4/5 and one guy isn't great, you can work with that. Like I said, not all 5 need to be great. They just need to play well together. And they need to have a certain level of average play. And you can get that out of Caden Wallace at right tackle.
Where does J.B. Nelson, the junior college transfer, come in? He's from Lackawanna. Pretty big guy, too.
Yeah, he's actually slimmed down. They have him listed this week with the refreshed roster at 6'4", 300. So he's slimmed down a little bit. He had to reshape his body. Super long arms. So he's going to be a good pass protector on the interior. He's absolutely a guard. Physical. Violent. I think he's going to get back up to about 310, 315. That would be where I think his sweet spot is as far as an athlete. And then he can absolutely push for one of those interior positions. You have competition and depth now a little bit more on the interior. Let me just, the rosiest picture I could paint to you is that Landon Tangwall plays center because he can play any position on the offensive line. And now you have a giant physical offensive line where your center is 320. So that is a possibility for Penn State next season if these guys work out. But there's so many unknowns that we don't know anything about, from Wormley to Nelson to, you know, the other guys that might be on the roster that aren't yet.
It sounds like portal for a tackle would be the best case scenario for this offensive line. All right, T. Frank, that's it for quarter number 2. Stick around, everyone. In quarter number 3, we take your questions and we ask T. Frank.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.